Well, if you love the Lord this morning, say amen. Amen. I sure appreciate the Lord. And don't you appreciate the singing? How good it's been. Just everything has absolutely edified the Lord. And it is good to be home for a short season. We went and ate supper last night. And Nina said, Joe, how long are you home for? And I said, well, about 26 hours. And then we've got to get up the road and go to the next meeting. So you pray for us. But aren't you thankful that the Lord is certainly on the move in these last days? And if you don't believe this, Jesus is coming back soon and very soon. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that He could come before we get out of church this morning. And if you don't believe that, you haven't watched the news. And Jessica and I have been privileged to meet a couple of people that have really good connections in Israel and in the Middle East. And if you know your Bible and you know history, right now in the United Emirates of Dubai, they are building a third temple, and there is one for Islam, there is one for the Christian, and they are working on the third temple right now for the Catholics, and that is so that everyone can worship in one mind and one accord with no division. But if you do not know prophecy, these things must come to pass for the Lord to come back, and that is key. And also right now they're working on building a third temple in Israel, and that's also key to the Lord's coming. And so I'm excited this morning. That don't scare me a bit. You want to know why? Because I know that when that trumpet sounds, I'm leaving here. And I don't have to worry at night that if the trumpet sounds, if I would be left, because I won't be. And I'm going to get up out of here, and that excites me. And I hope it does you this morning. And the common theme this morning has been, if you don't know Him, you can know Him. And the song that Dad just sang is so true. Jesus was absolutely motivated and driven by love. And that is absolutely the message of the gospel. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no greater message, there's no greater story than Jesus loves sinners. And I was a sinner, and I'm thankful that Jesus saved a sorry, low-down, rotten sinner like me. And He's called me to serve Him, and it is the joy of my life to serve Him. And if you're looking for Jessica, she's the prettiest girl in here. And that's how you'll know who my wife is. And for those of you that don't know her, but she is absolutely wonderful, a joy to serve God with her. Grab your Bible this morning. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. And Brother Terry met me in the parking lot and said, do you know what you're preaching this morning? Brother Johnny wants to put it on the live stream. And I said, well, honestly, I'm between two. And I'm glad I said that, because what I've been studying is not what the Lord wants me to preach this morning. But I have studied this obviously recently, but I really do believe this is what the Lord wants. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, once again, so glad to be home and see so many familiar faces, but also to see people that I've never seen before. And that's a blessing. And appreciate what the Lord's doing here at Fellowship, how God's using Dr. Jenkins and the staff and each and every single one of you. And I will say this, I appreciate the men that come week after week and pray on Saturday nights, Saturday mornings, and Sunday mornings. And if you haven't ever been a part of that, it'll change your life if you come. And I heard somebody say one time, Brother Joe, I just don't get anything out of that. And here's the thing, you don't come to prayer meeting to get something out of it, you come to put something in. And here's the reality, the power that drives the motor called the church is prayer. And prayer will not prepare you for the greater work, prayer is the greater work. And so if you don't have anything going on Saturday nights, I encourage you to come and be a part with these men, just lay in the trenches with them. And if you're not careful, they're going to get your rewards when you get to heaven. Somebody holler amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, we'll begin reading verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. The king said, is there not yet of any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. The King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? The king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Look with me, verse number 8 this morning. This will be our text. The Bible said, And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And this morning, with the help of the Lord for the next little while, this will make sense in just a couple of minutes. But I want to preach to you a message on this thought. The gospel according to Mephibosheth. The gospel according to Mephibosheth. Let's pray together. Brother Vincent, would you lift your voice and pray for us this morning? You pray in French. Help us, Lord. Yes, help us, Lord.
When I thank you for all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. We find ourselves in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, and the message this morning is titled The Gospel According to Mephibosheth. To give you a little history of this man by the name of Mephibosheth, he is obviously the son of Jonathan, and we know the story of the Old Testament, how God uses his servant by the name of David, and he is known as the greatest king of the nation of Israel. But David would not have been able to do the things that he did had it not been for Jonathan, the son of Saul. And can I say this morning, that Saul was obviously the king before David, and according to the way that things works, Jonathan should have been the heir of the kingship. He should have been the heir to be the king of Israel. And Jonathan is absolutely a man that is used amazingly by God to help this man by the name of David. And we know that he has a son. He has many sons, matter of fact, but one is named Mephibosheth. He is absolutely a token of God's grace. And can I say this morning, that Mephibosheth mirrors the condition of you and I in the fallen race of Adam. You say, Brother Joe, what are you saying? Well, Mephibosheth, we know, I'll give you a little history here in a moment, but Mephibosheth is crippled on his feet. He cannot walk. He is lame. He has no ability to do anything in his own power. And can I say this morning, that is exactly what sin did to you and I. When Adam sinned in the garden, we were crippled by sin. You were born into this world a sinner. You did not have to choose to sin when you were born. You were born a sinner. And you are standing in need of something to redeem you from that sinful state, if you will. You hear me this morning? If you don't hear anything else, you must know this, that I do not have to choose to sin. I am just a sinner. When I was born into this world, I was born an enemy of God. I was born a stranger of the grace of God. But I'm thankful, as a 9-year-old little boy on August 5th, 2010, I got saved by the wonderful grace of God. God changed my life. He changed my eternal soul. He changed my eternal destination. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm a child of of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm thankful this morning to report to you that He's never met a sinner that He cannot save. He's never met somebody that is too lost that He cannot save. He's never met somebody that's in too much darkness that He cannot shed light on. He's never met a drunk too far gone that He cannot sober up. He's never met a dope head too high that He cannot sober up. He's never met anybody that is too far gone. That is the King that we serve this morning. And you study the life of Mephibosheth. He is an enemy of the King. He's an enemy of David because of who his father is. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I'm saying that I was an enemy of God because of who my father was, Adam. My father Adam passed nothing down to me but my sinful flesh and my sinful nature. But aren't you thankful that the first Adam could not get the job done, but the second Adam on a bloody skull-shaped hill called Mount Calvary, they hung the Son of God high and they stretched Him wide, and He said, "It is finished. The work of Calvary was done." And He brought salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Joe, what are you getting at? I'm saying it excites me this morning. Me and my wife get to travel the country, and it never gets old seeing somebody fall under Holy Ghost conviction and say, "I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved." It never gets old to see them pray a prayer and watch the God of all glory save them and set their feet on a solid rock and establish their going. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I'm saying if you were to look back in your life, you're a lot like Mephibosheth. You've been crippled by the fall. You've been crippled by your father's decision. You didn't have to choose what you're doing. You're just there because of the acts of your father. But you hear me. There is a King that is sitting on the throne right now, and He wants to show you grace and He wants to show you mercy. All you've got to do is realize, "I'm not staying where I am, but I want to get to where the King is." I promise you, He'll make a way to get you there. That is the gospel according to Mephibosheth. This morning, I want you to notice a couple of quick things quickly. Notice first off, Mephibosheth's ruined past. Mephibosheth's ruined past. Well, when you study this, we understand that Mephibosheth was crippled by the fall. That shows us his condition. When you study this man by the name of Mephibosheth, you've got to find out why he was lame. He wasn't born lame, but he was crippled at one point in time. What happened was, Jonathan, obviously we know he was a son of the King Saul. And when David became the king, Jonathan's servants and the people that took care of Jonathan's son said, "We're now an enemy of the king. We've got to run." You'll study it just a couple of chapters earlier. What happens is the servant is running for their life. They didn't even have to run. David wanted to show them kindness. Can I say this morning? The greatest lie that you'll ever hear from the enemy is that God does not love you. Did you hear me? The greatest thing that the devil ever tells somebody that is a sinner is that God does not love them. Here's what happens. Saul's servants, Jonathan's servants say, "Mephibosheth, we've got to run. The king doesn't love us anymore. Mephibosheth, we've got to get out of here because the king wants to slaughter us." And when they're running for their life, they're running in this panic, they drop Mephibosheth. And when they drop Mephibosheth, I don't know what happened, whether it impaired him or broke his legs completely, but Mephibosheth becomes lame on his legs. He, from this point on, can no longer walk, can no longer carry himself. He was crippled by his fall. What are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying this: when my sinful father ran from the presence of God and ran from the ways of God, it crippled me spiritually speaking. What does the songwriter say? He said, "I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I can't take another step without Jesus holding my hand." And there's a lot of truth in that. I know that now. I can't even go another day without the Lord Jesus leading me on. I can't take another step without Jesus holding my hand. Brother Joe, what are you saying? I'm saying you are so crippled by the sinful fall of man. You are so crippled. You are so depraved. I'm so depraved from the crippled fall of man that if we do not have somebody that can redeem us, we will die in our crippled, sinful state. But I'm thankful to report to you this morning, you don't have to stay in your crippled state. Somebody can carry you. Somebody can get you to where the King is. Somebody can take you there. All you've got to do is be willing to get there. He's crippled by the fall. That shows us his condition. But then notice he was cut off from the king. That shows us his circumstance. Obviously, we know that if he thinks he is an enemy of the king, he's not going to barge into the king's court and say, "Hey, king, I'm here." Am I telling it right? He is cut off from the king. And can I say this? I was thinking about this, and y'all know I can't stand up there long. That's too high. I like to be down here where y'all are. I was thinking about this, Brother Christian, and it absolutely makes so much sense. Can you imagine Mephibosheth at one point being the son of a prince to a king? Now he is living in Lodabar. I'll say something about that here in a moment. But he's living in Lodabar and he has no access to the palace anymore. He has no access to the joys of knowing a king anymore. He has no ability to walk into the king's court like he did. When he was just a young boy, he could walk in there. And Brother Mike, he could say, "Hey, granddaddy," and his granddaddy was the king of all Israel. There was nothing that Mephibosheth could have wanted and not gotten because of who his grandfather was. But now he's so crippled, now he's so cut off that he can't even walk in the city where the palace is because he's been listening to the lies that the enemy has been telling him, that the king did not love him, that the king did not want him, that David did not long for him. You hear me this morning? Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that God does not want you, because God does want you. He doesn't care how far you've gone. He doesn't care how crippled you are. He doesn't care how cut off you've been. He wants you more than you want him. That absolutely blows my mind, that Brother Todd, in my crippled state of being a sinner, Jesus still loved me. That being cut off from his presence, he still loved me. It was nothing that God had done. It was what I had done. Yet he still loved me and saved me. That absolutely blows my mind this morning. Notice he was cut off from the king. That shows us his circumstance. Then we notice he's confined in Lodabar. And that shows us his country. What are you saying, Brother Joe? Well, that Lodabar, man, it intrigues me. Every time I study it, it just blows my mind. Lodabar was on the outskirts of the nation of Israel. And Lodabar was a dry, desolate place. And Lodabar in Hebrew literally means this. Means no pasture, no grazing, and no word. Dry, desolate. Deserted. That's what Lodabar means. And can I ask you something? Who in their right mind would want to go from the king's palace to living in Lodabar, where there's no word, there's no pasture, there's no grazing, there's absolutely nothing? I didn't think I'd have anybody jump on their feet and say, "I want to go to Lodabar." But can I tell you something? Spiritually speaking, that's exactly what we do. I had every right. Brother Joe, why do you keep saying, you weren't in the garden? I would have made the same mistake that Adam made. And if you don't think so, you need a reality check. You don't see yourself as bad as you actually are. You see this that I woke up in, you see this right here. You see this stuff that I woke up in this morning? It's an enemy of God. An enemy. Did you hear the preacher? Your flesh is an enemy of God. And if you don't believe that, you need a reality check. It's not in my DNA to do good. It's only in my soul to do good. Now, the Bible says, "In man dwelleth no good thing." As good as you think you are, the Bible says it's filthy rags in God's sight. So, can I say this? I, in the garden through my sinful father Adam, I had it all. I had access to the God of glory. The Bible says that God came in the cool of the day and talked with Adam and fellowshiped with him. And when Adam fell, he got cut off from the king. But then guess what else he got? He got confined in spiritual Lodabar. He couldn't fellowship with God like he once did. Brother Joe, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If I could not fellowship with God, I wouldn't want to live. Did you hear me? I absolutely am excited to go to heaven. But the greatest joy of my salvation is I can have heaven on earth right now. Because I can fellowship with the God of all glory right here, right now, in this moment. I can get in my little prayer closet. Brother Stephen, the God, meet me in that little closet. Nobody may know where I am, but I'm thankful He knows where I am. He inhabits the praise of His people, and He is near to them who are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He hears our cry. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by them. That is the God that we serve. And you hear me this morning, if you have no fellowship, it's probably because you're in Lodabar. You can't have fellowship with the King living in Lodabar. You can't live in your sin and have fellowship with the King. Brother Joe, I prayed a little prayer, but you cannot stay in Lodabar. You hear me? People say all the time, Brother Joe, I got saved when I was X years old, but they've been living in sin ever since. You hear me? You don't get saved and stay living in sin. God changes your life. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how much you give to the church. It doesn't matter how much you give to the ministry. You are not a child of the King if you're still living in Lodabar. What are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay in Lodabar. There's so much more in the King's palace. There's so much more in the King's courts. All you've got to do is say, I don't want to stay in Lodabar, because there's no word here. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into church service. Brother Todd, me and my wife have seen deacons get saved. Deacons of churches for 40 plus years. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw a man 75 get saved. Salvation ain't just for young people. And can I say this? It ain't just for worldly people either. Salvation's for church people too. You know what I'm alarmed by? How many church people have no desire to serve God, have no desire to fellowship with God. And I'm going to be honest, you know why that scares me? Because if you are what you said you are, you sure don't act like it. I know a lot of people, not personally, but I just know, I'm not dumb. And I know a lot of people, they look real good Sunday morning, Sunday night. But come Monday morning, you talk like everybody else. You joke like everybody else. Drink with everybody else. You do things that everybody else does. Brother Joe, don't preach on that stuff. No, that's the Bible. Listen to me. You cannot stay in your sin and be a child of God. How do you know that, Brother Joe? Well, I've studied it recently. But here's the way God works. God will convict His child. If that does not work, He will chasten His child. And if chastening does not work, then God will take His child home. God will not let you ruin His testimony. Did you hear the preacher? Brother Joe, I've been living in sin, never been any chastening. Well, Hebrews chapter 12 says, if you live and you're not a partaker of chastening, then you're a bastard and not a son. Did you hear the preacher? If you live life without chastening, the Bible says you're a bastard, not a son. You want to know how I belong to my dad? Because when I messed up, Ken Alford would whoop me. Now he couldn't whoop me, he'd shoot me. But that's because I belong to Him. How many of you got a whooping growing up? Nathan Lee sitting back there. Mr. Roy, grab that ear. And man, Nathan, you know, he's tall, but man, Nathan, get down on Mr. Roy's level real quick. Because he belongs to him. So why do we think it's any different spiritually? That God's just going to let us continually go in our sin and live in our wrongdoing and never be chased, and yet we think we're a child. Am I telling it right this morning? I don't know why I'm on all this. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You don't profess Christ and stay in your sin. That's not the way it works. That's never been God's way, never will be God's way. When God saves you, He changes everything about you. What I once loved, I now hate. What I once hated, I now love. You hear me? God changed everything about me. We notice His ruined past, but then notice His remarkable pardon. We notice the king longed, the king looked, but then the king loved. Isn't it amazing? Man, if I could do a backflip off this stage, I'd do one. But I can't. I don't want to break my neck. But isn't it amazing that Mephibosheth was confined in a place with no word, yet the king was on his throne going like this. Where's somebody I can love? Where's somebody I can show kindness to? Where's somebody I can show mercy to? What are you getting at, Brother Joe? That's exactly how I was when I was living in spiritual Lodabar, Brother Mike. I was cut off. I was in a dry, desolate place. No word, no fellowship with God. But there was a king sitting on the throne saying, I'm looking for a little sinner that'll want me, that'll love me. I'm looking, I'm longing, and I'm going to go after you. Hear me this morning. You don't have to stay in Lodabar because somebody's looking for you. Brother Joe, you don't know how bad I am. I don't have to.
That's right.
As bad as you think you are, He is that much better. As lost as you think you are, He is that much more gracious. I'm thankful He can save the worst of the worst, the least of the least, and do something with their life. All you've got to do is say, I don't want to stay in Lodabar any longer. Brother Joe, what are you getting at? I'm saying this. Mephibosheth had a ruined past, but he received a remarkable pardon. He was an enemy of the king. You study the old time ways of that day. Brother Todd, they should have killed Mephibosheth on sight. Exactly what they should have done. And can I tell you what I deserved? What you deserve? God should have never fooled with me. God should have just wiped me out and sent me to hell because that's what I deserved. Is that what you deserved? Is that what you deserved? About four of us believe it. Is that what you deserved? You don't think that's what you deserved. You're too lost. You're too deceived. I was an enemy of God. I deserve to be cut off. I deserve to be killed on the spot. I deserve to be cast in the deepest, darkest part of hell. But God showed me grace. Brother Joe, how lost were you when you were 9? Well, be honest. I don't know any other way to say this. I felt like I was Al Capone. I felt like I was as dirty. Joe, what did you do at 9 years old? I don't know. I just know I was lost. I've never drank a sip of liquor in my life. Never touched my mouth. I was as lost as anybody that has. I've never smoked a joint in my life, but I was as lost as anybody that has.
I didn't lose my virginity before marriage, but I was lost as anybody that has. What are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. It does not matter where you've come from. The same grace that saved me will save you. The same grace that changed my life can change your life. All you've got to do is be willing to get out of Lodabar. And the king will do the rest. Here's where Bible doctrine comes into play. What happened in 2 Samuel 9? Dr. Money, David's looking for somebody to show kindness to. He asks his servant Ziba. And Ziba says, there's somebody in Lodabar that wants you. What does the king say to his servant? He says, go get him. You want to know why I know I'm saved and I can't lose it, Brother Bob? Because I know the servant took me to where I couldn't go myself.
That's right.
Are you hearing me this morning? I didn't come to God on my own terms. I came on the Holy Ghost terms when Jesus sent His servant, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and said, go get sinners and bring them to where I am. Can you imagine the joy Mephibosheth had when he walked into that court and said, oh King, I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because the servant came and got me. There was a day when I was in a little bunk bed at Camp Deer Lake, Hall River, North Carolina. And I walked into the throne room of grace and I said, God, I'm not here because I won't necessarily came on my own terms. I came because your servant brought me here and the Holy Ghost had already led me to Jesus Christ. And I got there and I got saved by the good grace of God. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I'm saying this, you don't come to the king unless the servant's doing business with you to get there. Miss Daphne, if at any point before this, Mephibosheth walked into the king's court, the king would have punished him because it wasn't on the king's terms. Are you hearing the preacher?
Yes.
Are you hearing me this morning? Brother Joe, why you preach this every time? Because it's so lost. It's not lost here, but it's lost in churches. You don't get saved when you pray a prayer. You get saved when God's drawing you. You get saved when the Holy Ghost is drawing you. That's why I really believe I'm saved. Brother Christian, I'd prayed a prayer before. It didn't change me. But that night, I prayed a prayer. I don't know a word I said, but I know I got changed. Wonder how I know I got changed? Clearly, I got changed. Who could have ever dreamed Joe would be a preacher? It won't in my playbook. Won't in Miss Laura Langdon's playbook either. I used to torture her in children's church. I got changed. Not because I prayed a prayer, but because the Holy Ghost took me to the king. And the king said, well, the servant's here. He went and got you. I'll show you kindness. Because it was on the king's terms. What a remarkable pardon we have been shown in the king's court. He had a ruined past, he had a remarkable pardon. But then notice lastly, his royal position. His royal position. Miss Joy, will you come play something softly? His royal position. Notice this. He was founded with restoration. He was founded with restoration. What do you mean, Brother Joe? 2 Samuel 9, I won't read it for the sake of time. I'm almost done. But he walks into the king's courts, an enemy. Brother Kelly, I still haven't figured this out. Maybe somebody smarter than me can figure this out. He can't walk. How'd he get there? That means either he got carried or he got pushed in a wheelchair. In other words, he did no work. He just had to say yes. Whoop! Hallelujah goes right there. That's basic doctrine for you. Again, when I got saved, I did no work. All I had to do was say yes. That's all I had to do was say yes. But notice, he's founded with restoration. He walks in, coming from Lodabar. Dry, desolate, deserted, no word, no pasture, no grazing, nothing. Gets pushed in by the servant. He falls on his face. Again, haven't quite figured that out yet. I don't know if he pushed out of the guy that was carrying him's arms, if he slid down his chair and crawled at the king's feet, said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am?" Just thinking about that, you remember that little woman when she went and looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, "You're but a dog. Gentile dog." And Jesus said, "I ain't got nothing to do with you. Just a Gentile dog." She looked at Jesus and said, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You want to know something? I'm just a dog. That's all I am. But I'm thankful. I got some grace that fell from the master's table. My God, if I can do a backflip. And now, I'm not under the table. I'm at the table. Amen. He's founded with restoration. Everything Mephibosheth's past, David said, I don't care about. Here's everything I was going to give to your father. Here it is. My God in heaven, does that not make you want to shout? I didn't have nothing but sin, Brother Bob. But the day I met Jesus, God said everything that I was going to give to Adam physically, I'm going to give it to you spiritually. I'm going to give you fellowship with me. I'm going to give you blessings untold. I'm going to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't you rejoice that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You rejoice because you're no longer an enemy of God. He was founded. Restoration. He was furnished with riches. King said, "Everything that's mine, except for my throne, is yours." God gave me everything except for His glory. That's the one thing I don't get. Nor do I want it or deserve it. I don't want His glory. But everything else, His presence, His power, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His charity, His kindness, you fill in the blanks. Everything else I got when the servant got me out of Lodabar. Furnished with riches. Then notice this. He feasted with royals. Look at me, verse number 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat, what's the next word? Continually. Where? At the king's table. This will really help somebody. If you'll let it, I promise you it's a helping me. If I could get saved again, I'd do it right now. It's feeling so good. He feasted with royals. Papa, he went from being an enemy of the king to now always having a place to eat with him. In other words, my God in heaven, it just hit me. This just hit me. Y'all ever thought about that word, that verse that says we are joint heirs with Christ? You know what that means? Brother Money, it just hit me. I never thought about this before. Everything that comes across his table, I'm sitting at the same table. It's going to come across me too. Everything, every blessing that God the Father wants to pour on his Son. He's going to pour on me too. You want to know why? Because I'm sitting at the same table. Whoop! Man, if that ain't helping you, buddy, that's a helping me. Brother Joe, why are you so excited? I know who I am and I know who I was, but I know where I'm seated right now. And I don't deserve a bit of it. But that ain't even the best part. Man, that's feeling good too. But the best part is, Mephibosheth, can you imagine the shame? Them having lame legs. He once could walk. Now he's got to rely on somebody else for everything. He's got to be carried. He's got to be pushed around. Oh, but Brother Eric, when Mephibosheth sits down at the table, you can't see. You can't see everything that's crippled him. All you know is he's seated at the table just like everybody else is. I'm thankful one of these days I've got so much I'm ashamed of. I've got so much I'm not proud of. But I'm thankful one of these days when I find my place, the table of marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to sit next to Paul. Brother Mike, God's table of grace is going to cover everything that crippled me. Paul's going to look at me and say, you got here the same way I got here. I'm thankful. When Mephibosheth pulled into that table, you didn't see the things that crippled him anymore. You just knew he was at the table. You want to know what God wants to do with somebody this morning? You listen to me, sir, ma'am, sinner. You know you're a stranger of grace. You know it. Don't convince me you're not. You know you are. Here's what you say. Either right now you're saying, I'm saved. Well, my question is, have you ever had fellowship with God? Because if you haven't, you're not saved. That's the indicator of a child of God. Communion with God. Then there's probably somebody sitting here saying, I'm too bad. I've done too much. It won't matter when we're sitting at the same table. I've lived a lifestyle I shouldn't have lived. Won't matter when we're sitting at the same table. All Mephibosheth had to do, he heard those king's messengers coming to his house. Can you imagine the fear? He probably said, oh, today's the day. Probably said, I've lived my last day here on earth. King's messengers have come to kill me. Brother John, King's messengers said, fear not. We come with good tidings. The king wants you to come live with him. And Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. All he had to do was say, if you'll carry me there, I'll go. This morning, it's not hard. All you've got to tell the Holy Ghost is, if you'll carry me, I'll go. All you've got to do is say, if you'll get me to the king's court, I'll go. It don't matter how bad you are. The Holy Ghost. You don't get saved based on your goodness. You get saved based on His. Last time I checked, He never sinned. He never failed. He never fell short. That's a pretty good track record. Don't you stay in Lodabar. Would you not agree with me this morning and say, there was a gospel according to Mephibosheth? But I stand before you this morning, unapologetically, and I say this. There's a gospel according to Joseph Alford too. I've believed it. I've received it. Now I'm just trying to tell everybody I can about it.